on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Of the next volume of Hicks Tape, there from Joe Diffie, Morgan Wallen, and Hardy. The men also performed at the CMA Awards a few weeks ago alongside Post Malone, covering Joe Diffie's 1994 hit Pickup Man, originally released from Joe's fourth studio album called Third Rock from the Sun. You're listening to Night Shift on Phoenix 98 FM, your weekly dose of country music each and every Thursday night, 10 p.m. until midnight. On tonight's show, I'll be speaking with Essex's own country band, the Jackson 9, to discuss the story behind their latest single called Brave, and also talk about their Radio City sessions in Chelmsford. But for now, we're going to continue with diving into the new releases from this week. The next track I've lined up for you is by an artist from Raleigh, North Carolina. She is Priscilla Block, and in 2020 her song Just About Over You went viral on TikTok, reaching Nashville music executives who signed her up to Mercury Nashville not shortly after. They then released a single and it was on the American country chart in 2021. Her latest single though is called Hey Jack, and she wrote it with Randy Montana, Jeremy Stover and Dave Cohen. And we're going to play a track for you now. This is Priscilla Block on the Night Shift with Hey Jack.
I sent Cover Girl down south, crying my eyes out, finally putting on the boots. Scissors cut the jeans off, Walmart had press ons, Walgreens covered the roots. I'm sorry, champagne. Maybe some other day there ain't nothing to celebrate. Hey Jack, what you doing tonight? I got a lot of done wrongs that need done right. There's a guy I'm missing, and I'm on a mission to make a couple feel good.
Songs till we break it, till we break it. Oh.
a pop country crossover collaboration between the Jonas Brothers and Baby Zimmerman. That was their track called Strong Enough. It sampled the Rolling Stones' 1981 hit Start Me Up. Bailey will actually be coming over to London this December. He's going to be supporting Morgan Wallen at his sold-out show at London's O2 Arena on the 3rd of December. Another artist who I'd love to see headline a show over here would be Kenny Chesney. Kenny's latest single was written by Hardy. Kenny says that I was sitting in front of my computer one day and I got a text from Hardy. He goes, me and a couple of guys wrote this song with you in mind. Would you mind listening to it? And when you get that text from Hardy, you're going to listen to it, right? So I obviously listened to it and went wow in my head. I knew it was a song that I'd been looking for a while, and that was obviously very, very well done. I knew that it had a really good chance of resonating with my audience. Even though I haven't lived every single part of this song, I can look out into my audience and realise there's people out there that have lived the majority of it. This is Kenny Chesney with Take Her Home.
Downtown looks like it's New Year's Eve. You find some bar you can halfway breathe. Touch tune some old deep cut Cheap Trick. Got your girl singing every word of it. So you bring a couple shots of chilled Patron to the prettiest thing that you ever hit on. Somehow she ain't got a boyfriend. So you make her laugh all night and then take her home, fall in love. Thank the good Lord up above that he sent one down into your arms and put a chain around your raised hell heart. You're trying to play it cool walking through the door, but you're smiling like a fool cause you can't wait for them down the road. Memories you're bound to make, and you will one day take her home. Gassed up truck sitting in the driveway. In the back there's a black and a pink suitcase. She can't stop saying she's freaking out. You say, baby, you ain't got nothing to worry about. Then you hold her hand, kiss her one time, throw it in drive and take her home. They fall in love. Thank the good Lord up above that he sent one down into your arms. Put a chain around your raised hell heart. You try to play it cool walking through the door, but you're smiling like a fool cause you can't wait for them down the road. Memories you're bound to make, and you will one day take her home. Sometimes God draws life like a dream. Paints you a 7-pound, 5-ounce scene in a car seat creeping down the interstate. Two young lovers that are scared to death, but still can't wait to take her home, fall in love. Thank the good Lord up above that he sent one down into your arms and put a chain around your raised hell heart. Play it cool walking through the door, but you're smiling like a fool cause you can't wait for them down the road. Memories you're bound to make, and you will one day take her home.
Time we talked, I had to brave up. My feet were walking, but my heart was straight up running. Baby, you were stunning. And then a Kid Rock concert later, we were heating it up like a radiator running. Your daddy wasn't ready for no son-in-law like me with an outlaw attitude. I got a long, long way to go, but shoot, I'm a blessed man. Mascara from running, running, running. house and come home running. Probably pick you up some flowers or something.
That's right.
Yeah, and if we get rich one day, yeah, you know I'm gonna make sure the hot tub's always running. For us to have a little fun in, show us this six string strumming. I'm a blessed man. Lord willing, with a couple of canes, gonna hop out the front porch swing and take off running. After a bunch of little grand youngins in the yard, baby, cross my heart. I'ma bust my ass to keep the lights, water, and the gas running, running, running. Every dang day from the dogs to the Chevrolet. Running, running, running to Jesus with all my sins.
from the Jackson line. How are you today?
Yep, great. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me, Madeline.
Brilliant. What I thought we'd do, I thought let's kickstart with a bit of background about the group, as you've all been in a band together for quite some time now.
Yeah, we have. And in fact, when in Jamie think about how long we've known each other and been making music together, it's a little bit depressing because it's, I will tell you, it's around about 20 years that we've been kind of making music together. And it didn't start out as country. We loved music by bands like Train and Matchbox 20 and this kind of American pop rock. But actually, when we got into country, we realized that a lot of what we loved about that music, so we loved acoustic guitars, a guitar solo, harmonies. Actually, in country, you can find all those things and more and better. When we kind of started to get interested in country, it made sense for us to kind of move in that direction as musicians as well. And I think it was one of the best decisions we ever made.
Now, this is an Essex-based band. So where did the name The Jackson Line kind of stem from?
So we are an Essex band, and The Jackson Line, The Jackson is from a song called Jackson Station. And it's by a band called the Band of Heathens, who we first heard them on Bob Harris's country show, probably in 2008 or 2009. And Jim, who's also in the band, he'd heard it and was like, I think you're going to really like this song. And it was just the song that really opened our eyes to what country Americana could be, because it wasn't too far from the band that we were. But it was different enough that it was really exciting. And we just loved that album. And I think that was the album that really drew us into wanting to play this music. So when we were trying to work out a band name, coming up with band names is so hard and so awkward. And you come up with 100 awful names before you settle on one that you like. But we thought, you know, a little tribute to the song and the band that really got us interested in playing this music was a nice touch. Of course, when we came up with that name, we didn't think of the Jackson 5. So, you know, people mishear it all the time and we're like, oh yeah, that's a really good point. They are super close. We probably should have thought of that. Anyway, it is what it is and we're really happy with it.
Now, over the years where you've been releasing music, how would you say your approach to releasing music has changed? Is it more, would you say, direct at material that fans can interact with in live shows or on social media? Or do you now just make music that you yourselves just want to enjoy?
It has definitely evolved, and it's kind of both of those things, really. When we first started, we were trying to be a country band. And actually, even though I'm really proud of the first EP that we made and those songs that we created, actually it wasn't necessarily authentic to who we were. We were trying to do a country thing. And I think the music that we're making now, we kind of got that out of our system and it was like, okay, we're not going to be a Nashville band. We're from Chelmsford. So we didn't grow up in a farm and we don't drive trucks. So what is our context and what's our story and how can we take influences from the music that we love but make it something that's unique to us? And I think that's what we were able to do with the songs that we're releasing at the moment. It is who we want to be. It's not trying to force a pedal steel or a dobro in to make it sound country. It's actually those instruments fit this song and this music. It's much more authentic to who we are. And I think that's something that has changed as we've grown into our music. But also, I would say where we excel is as a live band. So we do always have an eye on how is this song going to land with an audience? What can we do differently in a live setting? How are the harmonies going to come across? And then when you can kind of see that work, when you can see that working in the audience, it's very satisfying. Like there's a song that we haven't released that's become our, we're known for closing with that song, and you'll see people joining in with it because they've seen it. It's something they're familiar with now. And even though it's unreleased, you can see it's having an impact because we were like, how is this going to really play for an audience?
just moved out of town. An opportunity just too good to turn down. Now that your comfort zone is where you grow, so we both knew you had to go. And we promised that we'd make it work somehow. But the world was about to change. I guess it's gonna be a long night. I'll be there before the sunrise. Got the radio on, they're playing our song. Sing along by the light of the moon. Don't care if it takes all night, I'm gonna get to you.
Now, you've been really active with the promotion of your latest single called Brave, which we will talk about soon. And you've been really active promoting it on Instagram and on Facebook. Do you think it's important for artists to have a really strong online presence?
Yes, absolutely. And I wouldn't say we're particularly good at it. This year, we have really tried to get better at it. And I guess the sad thing is you could be an incredible band, and if you don't have a strong online presence, it kind of counts for nothing. And the flip side of that is you see people who have the most amazing online presence, and then you might see them live and be like, oh, that wasn't quite what I thought it was going to be. So I think fundamentally we are musicians and songwriters, and we want to be in a band. We want to write songs. We want people to be hearing those songs. And the reality is, you know, we will get gigs based on our online presence, and we will get opportunities based on how many people listen to our songs or stream our songs. So you do really have to factor that in. I think it's harder than what people realize. You know, if you've also got other jobs or family, you're not just a band anymore. You know, you're a fully functioned marketing department. Until you get to the point where you can, you know, get an agent that maybe helps with that, or a manager that might help with that. So it is a lot, but also I would say we are seeing the benefit from the effort that we've put in this year to increase our presence and improve our content. So, you know, in that instance, it is quite rewarding to see that it's having an impact.
Now, there's so many country music festivals now. There's Country to Country in London's O2. There's the Lee Folk Music in the Yonsei. There's Boots and Buckles. There's Long Road. We can go on and on for days here, listen to them all. But it obviously shows that there is a much changing attitude towards country music now over the past few years. How would you describe the changing and now growing fan base within the UK?
It's absolutely growing. I mean, we released our first EP 5 years ago, and we felt at that point that country music was about to get really big. And in some ways, I don't think it has. Like, I still think I'm having the same kind of conversations in 2023 as I was having in 2018. But that said, Country to Country is now huge and sells out instantly, and is expensive, and you're getting some of the best people in the world coming to play in London. The Long Road is really different, you know, compared to what it used to be. Buckle and Boots is getting bigger and bigger. So I think it's great. The interest is there. I think people's perception of what a country is changing. I think there's a recognition that country is still a place for really special storytelling. But everything about it is getting kind of better, slicker, more professional. And in some ways that's great. But also you don't want to lose that authenticity. So I guess, you know, for every person that's coming out that's super slick, you'd have someone like Margot Price who is just doing her own thing. And this is the way I'm going to do it, and that's the way it's going to be. Or Sturgill Simpson or Jason Isbell, that people that are just kind of saying, it's great that Nashville is this kind of hit production machine these days, but we don't all have to do that. And I think that's great that everyone has a space in country music, which I find originally it was quite daunting, but now I think the fact that they are open to so many different kinds of crossover, I think it makes it a really welcoming, inclusive space.
If we now pivot towards your latest single releases, we've had quite a few since lockdown. We've had Shade of the Pines, we've had Gonna Get to You and California. What role did everyone in the band play in creating these singles? Would you say there's a lead songwriter in the band?
So everyone has a role to play. That's just a fact. I mean, I would say I'm the lead songwriter, and I think Jim and Jamie would be happy with me saying that. But these songs wouldn't sound like they do if the three of us weren't developing them together, taking them forward. Jamie's brilliant at coming up with little licks and riffs and progressions. Jim is excellent at challenging the story or the flow of a song. And I'd say because we've been working together for so long, we're able to put egos to one side and know that if one of us is saying they don't like something, it's not a criticism. And what we've all learned to do is you're not allowed to say, I don't like that. You have to say, I don't like that. What about this? And I think that makes for, you know, we still have our disagreements, obviously, because, you know, sometimes I love something that we're doing. Jim might not like it. Jamie might be on the fence. So you have to compromise. Also added to that is the impact of the producer, Murray, because California is a great example where the song was really straight and really, you know, rigid in its kind of four beats. We played it to Murray and he was like, I kind of hear it like this. Played it with a really much more of a groove, and we all just smiled at each other and were like, that's how it always should have been. But we never would have got there if it hadn't have been for that external person saying, what about this?
I should be grateful this feeling's strange, 'cause it's like a red hot burning pain. Just keep thinking about the things I should have said, but I just never found the time. Maybe I'll go to California where the ocean meets the sky. I may not find all behind California. You can't live your life full of regret. It won't be no help on the road ahead. Sometimes you gotta draw a line in the sand. But at least I can leave this
opportunities for our listeners to hear the stories behind these tracks by visiting your Radio City series in Chelmsford. How did the series form, and what can fans expect when attending these kind of shows?
Yeah, there's always a chance to hear a story. The Radio City sessions have been going for 2 years now. The idea came from, first of all, replicating some of the other things that we were seeing in the UK country scene. So we're very good friends with a band called Two Ways Home. They run a night called The Roundup in London. And we went there as fans, and then we played it as artists. The same with Gasoline and Matches in Birmingham. They do a similar kind of thing. So we had the idea because other people had done it before. So then we thought, well, how could we do something slightly different? And then I remember having a chat with Tim Protti-Jones at Tennessee Fields. And he talked about how his radio show is about kind of giving back to the community and giving people a platform. And I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could invite artists to Chelmsford, give them a stage. The Hot Box is a great little venue. We love working with the people there. And give people an audience that will actually listen. And then Georgie, who ran the Tennessee Fields Festival, we'd become friends since the festival, and she was having a similar idea of what could she do. And then we came up with this idea of a night where we're really clear. Once the music starts, there's no talking. So there's no pressure in as an audience member. You can just come and sit and laugh and be entertained. And so what the audience gets is a really lovely kind of gentle evening where you just get these great artists telling you a story about their song and then singing it. And sometimes me and my band will join in with them as well. And then what the artist gets is they get an audience. And, you know, from 2 years ago when we were really struggling to get people through the door, because we were like, we know this is going to be great, but no one else does. Now we're at the stage where we do sell out before the night. And we do have then people saying, oh, could you just squeeze us in? So we can say to an artist like Cody Pennington or Katie Hurt, you know, you've got an audience here. We can pay you them and you'll have a really special night, which I think is a great thing for us to be able to give back. But it's also meant that we've kind of improved our standing and reputation on the circuit because people know that we're doing our bit to try and help others.
Now, you've had quite a range of artists who have played in these songwriter rounds. Upcoming shows are going to be including Cody Pennington, Tennessee Twin, Katie Hurt, and Murray Pulver. Are there any British acts that you're hoping to announce in next year's events?
Yeah, we've had a lot of British acts, and at first it was only British acts. I do like the mix of, you know, can we get someone from Nashville to come and play? Or Murray is going to be in the UK touring with the Brothers Landreth. He's tagging on a Radio City Sessions on the end of that. So there is something about having international people that I do really appreciate. But there are definitely some British artists who I'd love to showcase. And what I would say is they have to be at a particular level. It's not an open mic night. I want a person who can really kind of explain their songs, and that me or Georgie or someone in the band is like, we really like their music. So Katie Hurt is a wonderful example of that, where we really admire her as a songwriter. She's a UK artist, but she's a bit special. Like, she's absolutely brilliant and we all love her. We did a gig recently with Jack Browning, another Essex artist, but the stuff that he's done with Red Eye Radio, really interesting. He's a lovely guy. I'd love to have Jack on the show next year. I love Kezia Gill. I think maybe she's a bit too big for us now to come and do a show like that. But we're friends with her manager, so you never know. They're some of the people that I would pick out. And if I can get the first-time flyers and Tim and Jake and Poppy to come back, they've already done it once, but that was before they were the first-time flyers. So if I can get them back as well, that would be great.
Looking down the cloudy skies, killing time as the day ticks by. Traffic jams as the snow begins, there's no way I can get outside.
just don't know.
Start turning to now your newest release. In your new single Brave, you have this really heartbreaking line that says, "How do we tell the kids and who gets the house?" And it was recorded in Winnipeg in Canada, and it was actually produced by Murray. How did you first connect with him?
We connected with him through Joey Landreth. So Joey Landreth is in the Brothers Landreth. They released an album 10 years ago called Let It Lie, and they are about to come to the UK and Europe to tour that album as a 10-year anniversary. And during the lockdown was rubbish for so many reasons, just from a musician's perspective. You know, you couldn't go out and play, you couldn't be in a pub, and it was, you couldn't be near people. So as a musician, like Jamie's a full-time musician, that was a very difficult period to hit. But what it did do is it opened up doors that perhaps never would have been opened. So Joey Landreth started offering online classes, and he said, you know, you can ask me anything. It might be about slide guitar. It might be about vocals. So we dropped him a line and said, could we talk to you about our music? So we had a lovely chat with Joey, and that line that you picked out, he heard that. And I mean, he's probably, you know, the songwriter I admire the most. And he heard that line and was like, wow, what a lyric. And it was maybe the proudest I've ever been. from a musical perspective. But his advice was find a producer who is making music that you love. You know, so look at the artists that you really like and see who produced it, because chances are they had as big an impact on that sound as the artist. And we finished that call with Joey and we're like, well, the artist we all love is Joey. His producer was Murray. So why don't we send him a message? And we did. We sent him an email thinking, maybe he's some kind of big shot who, you know, you just go into a file or you just get deleted. And he wrote back straight away and was like, yep, let's have a chat. And it turns out he is just the nicest guy you could ever meet. A family man in Canada, was really open to working with us. That was going to be remote, first of all. So we did some stuff just via Zoom. And then Jim just said one day, why aren't we going to Winnipeg? to work with Murray? And the two answers to that were, one, money. It would be expensive to fly out there. And two, family. We all have, we've all got partners, we've all got children. And when we spoke to our partners, they were like, of course you have to go. Why are you even thinking about this? Which was amazing to hear. And then we worked out the money and on some more gigs, put that money in the pot, and then ended up going out there. And it was, I think it still is the most incredible musical experience we've ever had. Because normally it's like we're building the band around family or life or jobs. But this was almost 2 weeks just being immersed in our music in an amazing studio with the person who made our favourite ever album. And the fact that he's coming over to play in Chelmsford with us in December, I think, is a testament to hopefully how much he enjoyed the experience of working with us as well, and just how important that collaboration was for us. So, yeah, it's really special. It's still the thing we're most proud of, and I'm glad that people are hearing all of the music from it now.
Now, Brave is quite a vulnerable song. What's actually the story behind that track?
I'll try and tell you the short version, otherwise you'll need a 6-hour radio show. So the short version is, so I'm in my early 40s. We wrote that song a little while ago where a lot of our friends were going through really difficult times in their marriages, or they were divorcing, or we were just seeing quite a lot of it. Like, it felt really real. And it was a particular friend who the husband had just kind of turned around to the wife one day and was like, yeah, this isn't working for me, I'm just going. And she just had no idea that was coming. So whilst that was happening, I had a chat with my wife and I said, I think it was really, if you know, look at it from his perspective, it's quite brave for him to say, this is not what I want anymore and I'm going to go and find something different. Now, that did not go down well with my wife. And once she'd started talking to me again a few weeks later, we were able to have a bit more of a chat around that conversation. But yeah, then that kind of idea of what is brave in that scenario? Is it brave to stay? Is it brave to go? And I just felt like there was a real story to be told there. I didn't want it to be... I'm hoping that people will listen to the song, and as you kind of move through the song towards the end, it hopefully is a bit more uplifting and empowering. But I did want it to be super vulnerable, just absolutely telling the story of that moment when someone is saying to someone else, this is not for me anymore. And I really hope we've captured that. And Murray got that vision straight away. And I think the production on it is really tender and beautiful, and then builds into something quite epic.
Now, as a band, you've released a lot of singles this past year. Would we be right to assume that maybe a new EP or a new album is not too far away?
Yes, you are right to assume that. Well done. I think when we made our first EP, we just released it. We made 5 songs and we just released them. And I think the way that music has changed in the past 5 years is, for an independent artist, if you release your album, you have one chance to promote it. And then it's out, and then that's it. So we decided we need to release these as singles, because every time we release a single, we can try and have it on the radio. We can try and get interviewed by people like you on the radio. We can do a press release. We can play a gig to support it. So for an independent artist, there's so many more opportunities to actually have something to talk about. So this will be the 4th single. We recorded 7 in Winnipeg, which is right on the edge between an EP and an album. Some people are telling me that that's an album. Some people are telling me it's an EP. I don't think it matters. It'll be a collection of 7 songs. I still think we might release one more early next year, one single. And it would be very different. Either it's going to be quite a rocky one or a very gentle one with just acoustic guitar and a dobro. But yeah, I think the strategy is definitely try and get as much attention as you can through the singles. And then next year will be, here's the collection and we hope you enjoy it.
Wonderful. Now we're going to play your new release for our listeners now. Would you like to introduce the track?
Absolutely. This is the Jackson Line, and you're listening to our new single, Brave, on the Night Shift, Phoenix 98 FM.
The Jackson Line with their latest single called Brave. Be sure to follow the Jackson Line on all social media platforms. Their next Radio City event will be on the 11th of December at Chelmsford's Hot Box venue. The lineup is going to include Katie Hurt, who we've actually had on the show before, and Murray Pulver, who produced the Jackson Line's latest track. You're listening to Night Shift on Phoenix 98 FM.
Battled house acid skin at the end.